Well, friends, if you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24, we'll be reading that a little later. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 24, just so you have that ready, that would be great. Faithful church in Christ, I'm sure many of you, like I did, enjoyed a national holiday this past Monday, a day off to honor those who have died for our country. This holiday originated just after the Civil War and was first called Decoration Day, a day people went to cemeteries and decorated the graves of those who had fallen in battle or in the war. I remember when I was just a little kid, first, second grade, something like that, talked to my grandpa. Talking to him, proudly telling him the Friday before, "Grandpa, it's a holiday on Monday." And he answered, "You're right, it's Decoration Day." And I corrected him, as grandsons often impertinently do, "No, it's Memorial Day." And he chuckled and said, "You're right, they do call it Memorial Day now because they just officially changed it a year or two ago. 1971, by the way, you were wondering, you history buffs." And he patiently explained that for as long as he had been alive, at that time just over 60 years, he and everyone else called it Decoration Day. And he explained that reason about decorating the graves of those who had paid the ultimate price for freedom for our country over the years. But he said, I'm just not used to saying it that new way yet, probably never will get used to it, I'm too old to change. Completely missing the gravity of the holiday, of course, as a little child, I just answered with him what I thought was most important at the time, "But Grandpa, do you know what Memorial Day really means?" "What?" he prompted. "I don't have school Monday. I have the day off." And he chortled, "I have the day off too, Roger, and I don't have to work either." Friends, a grandpa and a grandson can share that little fact together, but if they were in a room with the Apostle Paul, they would both quickly learn something my grandfather already had learned by that time, that in the Christian life, there is no such thing as a day off. Well, there's the day of rest, Sunday, to worship the Lord God, but there's never really a day off from the Christian life, because in the Christian's life, there is a battle raging every moment of every day, and God's word tells us we have to constantly fight that battle and be on our guard against the enemy in that great battle, who is Satan. There are no days off in living the Christian life and being a Christian soldier. So let's now listen with that introduction to God's word. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this passage in the Word of God is a call for Christian soldiers, us, to be armed to the teeth as they enter into battle, spiritual battle against the great enemy, Satan. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The text tells us the devil is scheming against us. Each of us in the devil's schemes has a target painted on us our whole lives through. We are nothing more than target practice for him. Reminds me of a Far Side cartoon long ago where two 10-point bucks are standing in a clearing right in front of a forest. And the one buck has a big, bright target right on his side. You know, one of those circular red and white targets with a bullseye right in the center. Well, the other buck remarks to the buck with the target on him, "Boy, Al, bummer of a birthmark you got there." Targets. That's what we are, though, for Satan. Nothing more than big birthmark targets. And in spiritual battle, he goes for the bullseye every time. We find out this spiritual battle is as broad and high and wide and deep as the universe. Not only is it a personal battle between you and Satan's sin and temptation, it is a cosmic battle between God and Satan, like a pebble thrown into a calm lake, and the ripples that result are personal battles against sin, the world, and the devil are never just personal battles. Each battle has ramifications that are cosmic in scope. It may not seem that way, but it is. Our struggle, says the apostle, is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realms, think of it. A personal battle against sin, cosmic in scope. Let's say there's a wife who wins a spiritual battle against the temptation of an attractive coworker hitting on her at work. She sets her boundaries, she holds herself accountable with other trusted Christian sisters in Christ. She detours away from every possible avenue that he pursues her on. She welds protective plating over every chink in her armor. She does this until the temptation no longer exists. Think of the glorious, heavenly, far-reaching cosmic results of this good fight she has fought. Her marriage stays strong. Her family stays intact. Her daughters have a godly wife pattern modeled for them. And two or three generations down the line have an example of a Christian warrior in their mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. The weed of divorce is rooted out before it can strangle a branch off the family tree. This woman did not just win a momentary personal battle. Her victory got stretched across generations. A cosmic conquest. It's not hard to see this. That small personal spiritual battles are never really small. They're kingdom-wide. And with that, remember that reminder of the cosmic scope of the battle, Paul says, get your armor on. Buckle the belt of truth around your waist. That's what Roman soldiers did, of course. They wore robes, but in battle, they hiked up their robes, stuffed the folds of the robe tightly around their waist with a heavy belt. You're not going anywhere stumbling over your robes. Paul says, get ready to move in battle. Get the belt on, the belt of truth. What is it? I like the interpretation that says the belt of truth is living a life of personal integrity. I don't know about you, but I can move a whole lot easier in ministry in the church. We all do ministry, not just preachers, of course. Move a little easier in ministry when the life I lead is lived according to what I hear preached. When I preach one thing and do just the opposite, I'm not having integrity. I'm not walking the talk, as we say. And when we're not walking the talk, we're not living the talk. We're not truthfully living with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. And when that happens, you're tripping all over the battlefield. Down you go. Imagine trying to fight a battle with a robe flopping around your ankles. Personal integrity, living the truth, character, virtue, saying, this is who I am. I'm doing my best to live up to it. If we're not living with personal integrity, I'm convinced a whole lot of ministry stuff is not going to happen because we don't really want it to happen. And so our prayers need to be every day, God, give me integrity today so that I can move more easily and serve you more easily for the church. Cinch that belt of truth around my waist so I don't get tripped up, Lord. That needs to be our prayer. Paul says, get your armor on. Put that breastplate of righteousness in place. What's that? The breastplate was the heavy section of armor that fit over the chest. It protected the heart and the lungs from the arrows and the spears. I believe that putting on that breastplate of righteousness is to live a life that takes sin seriously by confessing it, like we talked about this morning. By daily getting with God, seeking his righteousness through the confession of sin. When we confess our sins, God takes them away. God removes them. God washes us clean. And he puts Christ's righteousness on us in their place. He does this once and for all at the cross to save us through Christ's blood. But he also does this another way in our daily lives of confession. When sin is removed, something must take sin's place. And when you're dealing with God, he gives you Christ's righteousness. The desire to live a righteous life. And the actual doing of righteousness. Paul says, get your armor on. Lace up your sandals with the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers were foot soldiers, of course. Their feet were so important because they fought on foot. They also communicated on foot. If a message needed to get back to headquarters, to a city, they ran to tell news of the battle. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. People back home, wondering, how's the battle going? Would eagerly watch for the fleet feet of messengers bringing good news of peace. Paul says, get your armor on. Have the gospel message ready to be communicated at a moment's notice. Learn a gospel summary. This person needs to hear good news of peace, the peace Christ made at the cross between God and the sinful people like you and me. This person needs to hear. Run to her with the gospel of peace that you know. Paul says, get your armor on. Take up your shield of faith. In Roman times, these were giant shields which deflected spears and arrows, even flaming arrows of the enemy, arrows meant to burn and sear and scar. Just like our enemy Satan, right? He not only tries to tempt us, he also tries to burn us and sear us and scar us and paralyze us with these flaming arrows, fill us with fear. One of the ways he does this is to accuse us, to lead us into fearful despair and doubt with his accusations. You're too dirty to be forgiven. You've led too rotten of a life. God could never forgive the likes of you, having hung out with me for so long. Give it up. You're mine. God gave up on you long ago. I'm the only one that will have you. Your heart is too black. Your sin is too great. You're unworthy. It all leads to one thing, beloved, the burning scar of despair. And once Satan has you there, it's so hard to get back. There's only one thing to do. Trust God. Take up the shield of faith. Recognize your victory in Jesus does not come by anything you can do to make it up to him. It comes by grace through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the victory. Trust in God. Shield of faith. Christian warriors are made friends with God, justified in God's eyes by faith in Him. It is faith that saves us. It's faith that protects us from the despair Satan tries to trap us in. Yes, Satan, I am unworthy, but God has given me faith in Jesus, and I wear His worth as my shield against your flaming arrows of doubt, despair, and fear. You will not paralyze me with those things because I hold up the shield of faith in victory. That's what Roman soldiers did as they advanced on a city. When they got close enough, they raised their shields above their heads as the arrows rained down on them. Raised them in triumph because they were protected underneath. That's what we do. We raise the shield of faith in victory against Satan. Paul says, get your armor on. Take the helmet of salvation. Where does a helmet get worn? Of course, on your head. Protects your thinking, your mind. And what does Satan like to mess with? Satan likes to mess with our minds. How many times a day do you think does your mind get you into trouble? Think of all the thoughts you have swirling around up here. Think of all the images that enter your eyes and pierce your minds. A friend of mine talked about all the sex and the violence that is so accessible through TV, movies, internet, billboards, so easily penetrating our minds. And this friend said, the problem is, once it enters, it's stuck there. You can't get it out again. It's indelible. That friend took apart a walnut a while back, and one of the things he found out about walnuts is that the soft outer flesh that protects the walnut has a liquid in it that works like an indelible black ink. It will not wash off. If you get it on your hands, you have to wait till that dirty, dark ink on your hand finally just wears off. Well, stuff that enters our minds works the same way. It's indelible. It soaks in. The ugly violence, the impure lust, it stains indelibly right up there. Won't wash off. So God says, put on the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. Look away. And notice our gracious God, gracious again, gives us the helmet of salvation. We're saved even from the stuff that we can never forget. Better not to let it in at all, but thank the Lord Jesus Christ, what gets in and corrupts gets forgiven and cleansed all by the blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord for that. Paul says, get your armor on. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How often do you think we would do better in battle against sin and the devil if we had a better handle on the sword, on the Word of God? This one's a no-brainer. When we're in the Word, the living Word, sharper than any two-edged sword, when we're in the Word, we have the weapon of choice for fighting the prince of this world, Satan, and his demons. There is no substitute for the weapon that is the Word of God. To be a warrior for Christ, you have to read and know and love and dig into God's Word. There's an old board game called Stratego. It's a war game, a little like chess, and each game piece is worth a certain number. The number one piece, the marshal, knocks all the other higher numbered pieces off the board when it attacks. Number one is number one. It's the most powerful game piece. The number nine piece, the scout, gets knocked off the board by any other piece. It's the least powerful. So one is most powerful, nine is least powerful. So you'd think that number one is invincible, but there's also an S piece for spy. And every piece can destroy a spy, even number nine, the weakest. Every piece, every other piece, that is, except the number one piece, the marshal. If the weakest piece, the spy, attacks the strongest piece, the marshal loses. The spy is the only piece that can do it, and the spy is the weakest piece on the board. Beloved, we have the strongest weapon at our disposal, the Word of God. We can win spiritual battle after spiritual battle with it. Except, do you know what can neutralize us and the Word of God? It's a weapon of Satan's. It's practically a nothing weapon. I mean, we can defeat it with tons of lesser things than the Word of God. We can defeat it with watching television, going to the restaurant, school activities, working on our car, cleaning our house, surfing the internet. This almost worthless weapon of Satan's can be defeated by all these things, but it can destroy our effective use of the Word of God in a heartbeat. The strongest weapon we have, using God's Word, this other weapon can destroy it like it's nothing. It's Satan's weapon, and it's called the too busy. I'm too busy to read the Word. Too busy to spend time in it. Too busy to meditate on it. Too busy to use it. The too busy weapon. Everything else can blow it out of the water. But so often, isn't it true? The too busy weapon makes mincemeat out of our effective use of the greatest and most powerful weapon God has given, the Word of God. Too busy. I'm too busy. Paul says, get your armor on. The last one is prayer. Communicating with headquarters, right? That's what soldiers need to do. Communicate with their commanding officers. And that's one more piece of armor God gives us to put on in our fight against sin and the devil. Communication with our commander-in-chief, praying deeply in concert with the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us, praying from the depths of our hearts, praying for ourselves and others, communicating with corporate, with commanding headquarters. Paul says, get your armor on. You're involved in a spiritual battle that is as individual as Satan painting a single target on you, and yet it is a battle that is as broad as the cosmos. Far-reaching ramifications. But here's the good news, beloved. That war has already been won. Remember how Paul began his letter way back in the first chapter. He said this, God's power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. The good news, beloved, let me say it again, is that the spiritual battles you fight are battles in a war that has already been won at the cross by Jesus Christ. And so he says, put your armor on. Join in the battle. Join the winning side. Join him. This is no time for a day off. There are no days off. There's a battle to fight. There's work to be done. There is armor of grace to put on and to pass out. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, your work through the Apostle Paul is incredible and so clear that we are involved in this incredible spiritual battle, a battle that truly has been won. But yet you tell us, get your armor on. Because there's the great cleanup operation going on right now. You're bringing an end to it all. You're bringing all things together under one head, Jesus Christ, so that one day you are all in all. We want to be on your side. We want to be on your side. And so you tell us, put on the armor I have for you. That's the way to be on my side. Help us to do that. Help us to take this text seriously. That there is a battle still going on every single day in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. And you've outfitted us for that battle. How dare we take that armor off, even for a moment? Work in our hearts to show us when we're tempted to do that. And then help us put it right back on again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.